So when you're negotiating, quite often buyers just think of, you know, the price,
mm-hmm.
deposit, the settlement date, and any penalty clauses.
What about inclusions?
Well, they quite often forget about the inclusions and conditions of the property. So today's episode is all about how you think about those when negotiating.
Yes. Well, welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the selling agent, and here with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Yes, and this is how not to mess up negotiations on a property, whether it's in the Sydney market or anywhere in Australia.
I thought you were going to say the F word then, but anyway.
Oh, Chris, I'm trying to be a good boy,
And this is following up from our last episode. So we talked about last episode about pre-sale inspections and how things can go right or wrong, maybe more wrong than right.
And how people's expectations can be misled slightly or...
Yeah, people have different expectations. So today's episode, you know, one of the things that even before you negotiate, I think people should look at is on the contract, and just, you know, it's obvious, there are inclusions. There's actually a box full of inclusions. What are some typical inclusions you'd see on that box?
Well, standard. I was actually just going to quickly jump one little bit ahead for 1 second is one thing I always say to buyers generally, always, is... if you've got interest in the property, the price is the last thing we're going to discuss.
Yep. Get everything else done first.
Which one of them includes inclusion. So generally there is a stove, there is fly screens.
Clothesline.
There could even
air conditioning.
Yeah.
And there's a box to add others. So you could add like swimming pool, spa.
Yeah, pot plants. And then there also can be exclusions.
Yep. The things they're going to remove, they're going to take with them, they're going to take the fridge with them.
An easy way to generally to start off with is if you turn the property upside down, generally what comes out,
Hulk, if you're not, smash.
Bicep cuss. Whatever generally falls out is generally going to be taken away with the property unless included otherwise. So for example, the kitchen is generally going to stay because it's attached to the property.
Correct. Yeah. So it's all fair and reasonable. And then you can... add in these inclusions. So always good to go through. Sometimes I've seen things where, you know, blinds are missing. The blinds are there in the property. They're going to come with the property, but they're not marked as inclusion. So basic thing that I always do is take a video through of the property. Then when I'm reviewing the contract, I'm literally re-eyeballing my video to go what it was actually there at that time. However, the inclusions don't talk about the condition of them. So it could have an air conditioner mark there. It doesn't say it's working or not.
Yes.
And it's quite misleading, not to you, not to me, but the way legislation's written, it just says if they're there. So if when we go to pre-settlement, the air conditioner's not working and it's marked as inclusion, but it's physically there, that's actually all it needs to be.
Correct.
All right. What could you do around that as, I'm going to throw it to you now, as a buyer going through, what are some things they could do to protect themselves or have as negotiation as this?
Yes, so when you go to, you like a property and you're starting to fill in the contract or negotiate on the contract, before you get to the price, you need to actually work out what you want in the property and what you want fixed in the property.
Yep.
If you don't even talk about it or mention it or it's not negotiated in the contract sign, you buy the property or the way you've negotiated as is.
Yep.
So in this case, for example, just say that in our last video, there is an aircon. It was notified to the purchasers, everyone, that it was working, but there's some sensor errors. But nothing was negotiated that needed to be fixed.
Yeah.
Comes to pre-settlement time. It's still in the same condition. Aware, our vendor's not going to pay to fix it up. That's now on the...
unlikely, unless, again, you can... magically, sometimes you could plead with a vendor to do so. The goodness they have, they do not have to, and 99.9% will not.
Yeah.
But you can try.
Yeah. So a little story is my partner, when she was helping her mum buy a property, she would go into the home and she would check out every power point. She would make sure all doors were working, doors locked, all windows locked, because then they were able to negotiate, being like, well, we're not going to proceed with purchasing the property unless it's... unless these things are fixed rectified up or they're rectified.
Yeah. And if they're not, potentially use them in a negotiator. So some of the things you could be checking, and we see some people do some of these, some people do none, but things with water pressure.
Water pressure, yeah.
What else?
Water pressure, make sure all the lights are working effectively.
Locks on the doors and windows, keys.
Correctly. Correct. Making sure, for example, even on the tiles, making sure there's no major chips or there's no loose bricks on the outside of the house.
Yep. PowerPoints.
PowerPoints.
Yep. I see people going around. I think the new generation seem to bring the iPhone charge and do like a little charge in each one, which I do worry about the damage to their phone, but that's a sidebar. Now, air conditioning, turning on and off.
Exactly. Now, here's the point I want to make is that you can, when you're then discussing with negotiating, get your solicitor or conveyancer to ask as many questions as they want to the real estate agent or the real estate agent's vendor.
Or the vendor solicitor.
The vendor solicitor, thank you. Mm-hmm. Ask as many questions as you want. They're going to file back and they're probably going to reject any silly ones, to be honest.
Any silly ones, okay. Yeah.
Any silly ones, to be honest. However, it's then up to you how hard you want to negotiate. Now, let's say we're talking about an auction campaign because you've got off-market, pre-market, or you've got a normal sale.
Or post-sale or whatever it is.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say, just before you get into that, if you've only got one, like let's say one PowerPoint's not working, like is it the be-all and end-all, you can usually quickly get that rectified. In a scenario that it's an older property, you're buying a second-hand car, there's a multitude of things there. There's three air cons, one's not working optimum. There's an extraction fan, there's this. How do you go about that? And we want to focus on auction campaign because I think that's probably more poignant, but it does apply to other ones. Yeah, how far can you negotiate or take the time to negotiate without stopping the negotiations?
So first of all, how much do you love the property? How much do you want to be in that property?
Yep.
That's number one
thing. Yep.
Now, if you do really love it, you also need to work out how competitive this campaign is.
Yep.
So that generally means being there on Saturdays to see how many other people are coming through the properties. Now, if you're also not wanting to give away that you, for some reason, that you're coming every open home, you can send a friend through.
I've stalked outside. So I've literally sat in the car. So I've not gone through the property, but I've...
Yeah.
So I don't get registers coming back in, but I can eyeball it.
Just because there's lots of people coming through doesn't mean there's going to be a lot of people that auction, but generally you have a better idea that if there's more people constantly coming to the property...
Because you're going to get a reasonable indication.
Yeah, the auction could be competitive.
Yep.
And where I'm trying to put this into a small little...
Basket
is that if the property is highly contested at auction and you're asking all these ridiculous... a lot of requests...
Yeah.
May not work in your favor because the agent may just end up going with someone else or selling it to someone else beforehand. Or
it's a really great tip, and I'm going to go a little bit of a tangent, so bear with me. But property recently saw down South Hurstville, brand new property. First inspection, there's 45 crews there, it was humming. Afterwards, we were sort of looking to make an offer. Agent said, no, like there's been so much interest, we're going to go through to auction. What the agent didn't know, not their fault, but most of the people just wanted to see a brand new house. So, and most of them were neighbours and living in the area. So the second and third inspection numbers dropped down so much that when they did go to auction, my clients had decided not to buy. They'd seen other things and they're still looking at the moment. The guy price was 3.3 and they actually got at auction, they sold it for 3.05. Before auction, we were considering making, but after the first inspection, we were considering making offers of 3.4. But we're told to go to auction. Now, we didn't buy it, and we probably may not have gone through that anyway, but interesting scenario about judging who's there and who's not and how that then impacts your mentality.
Yeah.
When then it could drop off in numbers.
Yeah. So a way for buyers to work out if the agent might not have as many people is if you are asking a lot of requests or really wanting things and they're trying to be quite malleable with you, that is a way to potentially work out if you're the... one of the few potential purchases.
Yep. I think even malleable, let's say you've gone back and had two or three conversations with it and they're still promptly coming back to you, promptly being the key word, you probably are in a good position.
Yep.
When the agents get frustrated, right? So if you, what about the latch at the back? And then you ask, what about the window upstairs? If the agent's got other buyers, you'll just find that they won't be as responsive. Maybe malleable is your word. My word is going to be responsive.
Yeah. Now, for me as an agent, I'm trying to get back and always be super nice, super prompt anyway.
Yep.
But I do know there are agents out there that would just discard people if they're too difficult. So there is a way to know if you're in with a good shot. But also, when you're trying to negotiate, do all of it at once in terms of you've got all these requests, Try and do all the requests at once. Don't keep coming back for this thing, this thing. If something suddenly has popped up, brilliant, ask about it. But generally try and work out everything that you think needs to be negotiated beforehand.
Yeah, do it that way. Anything else?
I think in
terms there's so much more on this topic we could talk about, but I think the clear thing is have it all together, negotiate in one hit.
Yep.
And I like your point earlier on. It's probably going to be determined by how much you like the property. One last, well, my last tip anyway, would be if you look at it all and you're like, look, there's a PowerPoint, there's a light here and so forth, and like, look, it's going to be a couple of grand worth of electrical work at the end of the day. Maybe just put a pin in it, don't remember the negotiation. Tell the agent, look, we're making an offer minus a couple of grand in our mind. I'm sharing that I'm making that offer minus because I'm going to spend, most agents will go, oh, I respect that because you're not annoying me with lots of various requests. Appreciate your offer is a couple of grand less. It's not a round number, but I get the education. I can pass it on my vendor.
Yep.
It's going to be useful whether you take it or not. It's another thing.
My final two tips are, do the negotiations beforehand, prices at the end. But no, when you sign the contract, how that property is and what you've negotiated beforehand is how the property is expected to be when you do the pre-settlement inspection. So just say you've touched on, oh, agent, the lights aren't working or a switch isn't working or something's not working, but you haven't said that will be fixed before it settles, it does not need to be fixed. Now, as an agent, I try and help out and try and create a good solution, but at the end of the day, when you sign the property is how you're going to receive it.
Correct. All right, let's jump into our three quick cues. Let's get this short and punchy.
Yes, you go first, okay. Chris.
Have you ever sold a property pre-auction without a 66W? I mean, they haven't waived their the cooling off periods.
No.
Cool. Thought that would be the answer, but I'll just check. Go on.
Okay.
Not sure if you're making these up on the fly.
Chris, what has been the toughest inclusion negotiation discussion you've had? I'll give you a sentence.
No. Actually, because it rolls into my one. So my next question. So a birdcage. Not toughest, but unusual.
Yeah.
Right? So there was a birdcage there. My clients wanted it. So they actually put it down, actually had it there as an inclusion. So actually my next question, what's the strangest inclusion you've had somebody make note of in the property?
I am missing it, but there was another one. Pot plants.
Pot plants, yeah, cool. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
On you?
Did you actually answer my one?
Birdcage.
Oh, birdcage, that's right.
Play along.
I was like, wait, did you just come straight on to me? Okay.
I gotta work with him.
How many people don't want to do a pre-settlement inspection that you've worked with?
I think you said last episode 3%. I'd say around 10 to 15% of my clients don't see value or don't wish to do it. I'm not defending, but I always do it. I make it mandatory. You asked me last time a question about clothing, so I'm going to ask you a question about clothing. Rest of your life, you have to either wear thongs or sneakers.
Thongs.
I thought so. I knew it. I'd go sneakers. But go on. What's on? Last question.
Last question.
Bring us home.
Okay. Eating pizza and ribs, as in separately or together, with your fingers or cutlery?
Fingers.
And just ask.
How could that be a question?
Look, I've had an experience where someone I saw.
Really? How is Tony? Crackerjacks, his boss.
Okay, but guys, thank you very much. We did want to make mention 2 episodes ago on an episode we have why you must sell now. That hit 102 views as of when we are saying this, and for us,
that's huge.
It's a massive, massive jump.
Most before that was just under 50.
Yeah,
and thank you to our 27 subscribers. I think I made note only a couple of months ago, down to 9. So that's 300%.
300%. So yes, just thank you so much for actually watching, listening, trying to help people make good decisions, whether you're buying or selling or just understanding the property market better.
Yeah,
so
very, very thankful for all of you, and it'd be lovely if you can like or share, particularly share with somebody who you think this is useful for.
Yeah, perfect. Other than that, have a great day, guys.
All the best.